Scientists, health advocates, and environmental activists in California are expressing their concern to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger that agriculture in the state will become more dangerous if a new fumigant is approved for use. Patented by UC Riverside and licensed to Arista Life Science, the new pesticide methyl iodide would replace the ozone-depleting methyl bromide, primarily in strawberry and tomato fields. While methyl iodide, which will be marketed under the product name Midas, is not harmful to the Earth's atmosphere, many scientists and concerned citizens worry that it increases cancer and other health-related risks in humans and other animals. Initially, the Environmental Protection Agency refused to register methyl iodide as a legal pesticide in 2006. However, in 2007, the EPA registered the chemical for only 1 year, despite expressions of deep concern. The time limit was removed by the EPA last year, effectively authorizing methyl iodide's use indefinitely. California, as the nation's leading strawberry producer, offers a major market for the new fumigant. But before farmers can put it to use, California's Department of Pesticide Regulation must first approve it. Environmentalists like my guest Susan Tegley are also opposing the chemical. She is a PhD chemist and a consulting scientist for the Pesticide Action Network. Welcome to Uprising.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So first, let's talk about the science of this pesticide itself before we get into a little bit of the background of how it came to be. Why is it considered so toxic?
Well, if you're thinking about reducing the hazards associated with fumigation, you wouldn't leap from the frying pan into the fire, which is what they're doing, going from methyl bromide to methyl iodide. It is about four times more toxic on the acute toxicity front in terms of, you know, how much does it take to kill you. And also, it's a carcinogen, whereas methyl bromide is not a carcinogen. It causes, it's euphemistically phrased in the risk assessment, but it causes fetal losses, which translates to miscarriages. And that is the most sensitive endpoint and the one that is perhaps of greatest concern for people who live next to fields where these pesticides are applied.
So methyl bromide, the original pesticide that was used, was harmful to the ozone but not as harmful to humans. This one's the other way around?
Yes. And this is not to give methyl bromide a free pass. It's highly toxic itself, but methyl iodide is even more so. And this just seems like the wrong direction for California agriculture to be heading.
Now, because it's so toxic, those who are in favor of it are using its toxicity or turning it around to say that, well, that's an advantage because now we don't have to use as much of it.
Well, they're planning, you know, the legally allowed amount that can be used is 175 pounds. Per acre. And we're talking about a chemical now that I'm a chemist, and in the lab when we work with this chemical, we use the absolute least amount possible because of its toxicity. We work with it in a well-ventilated hood that pulls the air away from us, the people who are working with it. We wear gloves. We use syringes to transfer it to keep it from getting out into the air. The idea of putting 175 pounds per acre handled by relatively untrained people just seems like it's not the best idea.
So this was a chemical that was developed by a scientist that and also developed by UC Riverside. What is the sort of main motivation? Because often when these sorts of things come about, it's the marketability of it, it's the profitability of it that is considered attractive. I can't imagine that it's just genuine concern for the ozone layer.
Well, apparently the company Arista that is making and marketing it has a connection to people who own the iodide mines in South America.
There you go.
And, you know, they're looking for markets for compounds that contain iodine.
So methyl iodide, of course, is an iodine compound, but methyl bromide doesn't use that particular chemical. I understand iodine is a pretty expensive chemical.
Yeah, so this is going to be more expensive for growers to use than methyl bromide, for sure. And then the other interesting thing about iodine, as you probably know, we need it for proper functioning of the thyroid gland. And you can also see thyroid effects in the experimental animals that they dosed to test the toxicity. and that is probably the source of the fetal losses. That the thyroid gland is very important in the development of the fetus as it progresses along, and interference of the thyroid hormones make a difference in how that fetus develops, and in this case, kills them off. So,
how is it that the EPA just approved this, even though it's a known carcinogen?
Well, we were very surprised at that, too. A group of scientists, chemists, who work with this chemical in the laboratory and know what it can do to the molecules that they're trying to get reactions to happen with, 55 scientists, all members of the National Academy, wrote to EPA and said, are you sure? This doesn't look like a good idea to us.
Now, I understand that the state of California classifies it as a carcinogen, but the EPA says it's a possible carcinogen. Is that where the sort of play lies that the EPA is using to approve this?
Well, actually, EPA's rating is, and this is a completely unintelligible cancer rating, not likely to cause cancer at doses that don't disrupt thyroid hormone levels. Mm-hmm. But it is a carcinogen at levels that do disrupt thyroid hormone levels. And, in fact, the exposure that you're likely to get is at the level that's high enough to cause that thyroid disruption. So EPA kind of, it's an unusual cancer rating to see. And the exposure potential with this chemical, because you're injecting it into the soil at 175 pounds per acre, is so high that this actually is a concern.
I'm speaking with Dr. Susan Keglia, chemist and consulting scientist with the Pesticide Action Network. We're talking about a new pesticide that the state of California could approve to be used on strawberry fields here in the state. California is the leading strawberry producer in the nation. And Susan, tell us a little bit more about the history of the battle at the EPA over methyl iodide. Going back about 3 years, the state of California, I understand, has expressed problems with this chemical in the past to the EPA.
Yes. EPA did a somewhat unusual thing with this pesticide. It's a new pesticide, and they don't have to publish and get public comment on their risk assessment. But there was so much concern about this pesticide that they did publish it, and they did ask for public comment. And the California Department of Pesticide Regulation wrote in even with great concerns, particularly about the potential for causing fetal losses and miscarriages in experimental animals. That looked like the most sensitive endpoint to them. In the meantime, they've evaluated the data much more closely and have even greater concerns. But so that there was also quite a bit of public comment on that risk assessment, and the EPA went back to the drawing board. There was not much heard for quite some time, and then there was this immediate and sudden need to get it registered right away in September of 2007, and that's when all of the National Academy of Science chemists got together and sent a letter to EPA asking them to consider this more carefully, give it a scientific peer review before moving forward.
And Susan, do you think that this whole sort of battle is partly the result of Bush-era EPA, and that under the new leadership with the Obama administration, this sort of thing might not have happened?
I do think that that is true. The Bush administration let many things slide by that, the other thing that happened in the Bush administration is that this hiding of data and hiding of when the decisions would be made so that the public couldn't reasonably have any kind of input on it.
So the farm workers who are going to be handling or who would handle the strawberries and other fruits and vegetables that this pesticide is used on would be sort of at the front line of the health risks, right?
They would. The estimates that the Department of Pesticide Regulation gives show that farm workers doing certain tasks will be exposed to up to 3,000 times the amount that they would consider safe, that DPR, the Department of Pesticide Regulation, would consider safe.
What about the risk to consumers as well? I mean, strawberries have fairly thin skins, and I can't imagine that you can wash away all of the pesticide.
Well, the way this pesticide is used, residues of methyl iodide will not be a concern because it's injected into the soil prior to planting the strawberry plants. What may be a concern is extra iodide in the soil. If a field is treated with methyl iodide year after year after year, the iodide levels will build up in the soil. The question that there's not a clear answer to yet is, does this extra iodide get into the produce? Will this be a problem of having too much iodide in our diet?
What position does the Pesticide Action Network take on the use of this versus other chemicals? You said that you certainly weren't a proponent of methyl bromide, the precursor to this pesticide. So what would you recommend needs to be done?
Well, our main push is to try to get people to consider alternatives that don't involve using toxic chemicals.
So organic farming?
Organic growers have been growing strawberries successfully for years. The strawberry industry, when they heard that methyl bromide was on its way out because of its ozone-depleting potential, they really, you know, got together, developed a lot of techniques that really would work. They have not put them into broad practice because these chemicals always are being made available. And in order for the alternatives to take hold, you have to really forbid the use of these more toxic and hazardous chemicals.
Finally, Dr. Susan Kegley, what is happening at the state level now? Where is the battle at this moment, and what can listeners do who are concerned about this?
Well, the chemical industry and probably some growers have started pressuring the governor to force the Department of Pesticide Regulation to register this chemical. And what was planned by the Department of Pesticide Regulation was that scientific peer review that the scientists requested for the federal registration and never got. So this scientific peer review is scheduled to begin sometime in the fall, and it looks like the science may be overridden by the governor, who, with a stroke of a pen, can legalize the use of this chemical.
And so it looks like he's actually leaning in that direction?
We don't exactly know, but we're very concerned about this because this will make a big difference for people in Ventura, San Diego, Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, Monterey, Watsonville, where all the strawberries are grown primarily. These people are going to be exposed to a lot of this chemical, and it will not be good for California's health. We can't afford it.
So do you think that he would be motivated by things like the economy of the state, that somehow this would provide some kind of boost? Or what could he be motivated by?
Well, politicians tend to be motivated by campaign contributions. I don't necessarily think, my own opinion is that may not be true in Schwarzenegger's case, but he seems to be motivated by keeping the economy moving at all costs. And I think that's a false economy in this case because the health costs that are going to arise from using this chemical are going to be large, and the state can't afford it.
Finally, Susan, what's a website listeners can visit to find out more in terms of actions they can take?
There's actually a petition to the governor that is on the Pesticide Action Network website at www.panna.org.
That's www.panna.org, stands for the Pesticide Action Network of North America. Susan Kegley, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Dr. Susan Kegley is a chemist and a consulting scientist for the Pesticide Action Network. We'll link to their website from our site later today at kpfk.org/uprising in case you missed it.